Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Bidder Information webcast for PECO's 2026 solar RFP. This webcast will provide an overview of the RFP process whereby PECO would enter power purchase agreements with solar projects for up to 25 megawatts. My name is Katie Orlandi. I work for NERA Economic Consulting. NERA serves as the independent evaluator for this RFP. With me today is Paul Cardona, also from NERA, and representatives from PECO who will be available to help answer questions you may have at the conclusion of the presentation. So, in today's presentation, I'm going to provide an overview of the procurement event, details on the solar projects that can qualify to submit a bid for a PPA, and details on the PPA itself. And then next, Paul will provide details on the qualification and bidding requirements, and the process. All lines have been placed on mute, but you can ask written questions throughout the presentation, and then we'll go through those questions at the end. To ask a question, you'll use the chat icon at the bottom of your screen, type in your question, select hosts and panelists in the dropdown, and then hit enter. Also, if you have any technical difficulties during the presentation, please use the chat function to get in touch, and someone will be available to help you. And a note up front that today's presentation and audio will be posted to the website that's dedicated to this RFP. That's pico-solarrfp.com. And any questions we receive and answer will also be posted in writing there with no identifying information related to the questioner. So this slide provides a screenshot of the documents page of the RFP website. All necessary documentation for consideration of this opportunity is posted and available for your review. The documentation includes the request for proposals, which outlines the qualification requirements and bid process, the power purchase agreement that will be signed by PECO and a winning seller, and then also illustrative versions of the required qualification forms. So you can review these illustrative forms to see exactly what information and documentation is required to participate in bid. In practice, you'll submit information through online forms that mirror these illustrative versions. The website also contains a calendar page with the participant deadlines that begin in April 2026. There's an FAQs and announcements page. You can check those regularly to see what additional information has been provided to questioners. And then there's also the Contact Us page where you can submit questions that you have as you review posted materials. And so if we receive a question, we'll respond to you in writing, and we're also available to meet by phone. Any questions that are received are posted to the website as FAQs for all interested parties to review. So again, today's agenda is I will start with an overview of the RFP, including the eligibility requirements for solar projects and the calendar with deadlines. And then next, I'll walk through a handful of slides with details on the PPA. I'll turn the presentation over to Paul after that, and he'll present in the second half on the qualification requirements and process. So it's very clear what you need to submit in order to qualify and provide a bid. And then at the end of the presentation, we'll respond to your questions. So PECO has issued a request for proposals seeking to enter into PPAs with one or more solar photovoltaic projects for up to 25 megawatts DC. This may be for projects across one or multiple counterparties, and the PPA would be executed by June 2026. This is the second procurement event held by PECO for this purpose. A first event was held in the summer of 2025, but no applications were received. This contingency procurement being held in 2026 is the final event planned to contract directly with solar projects through their currently approved procurement plan, which extends through 2029. So this is the final opportunity planned. The slide provides the requirements for a solar project to qualify. Solar projects must be new, meaning the project has not commenced delivery of electricity to any entity and its construction has not been completed as of April 27, 2026. That is the date that proposals and bids are due. Under this definition, it is possible for an addition of capacity co-located with an existing solar project to qualify. Solar projects must be constructed in Pennsylvania and must interconnect with PJM in order to be able to sell energy and capacity into PJM markets. Also, projects must expect to achieve commercial operations no later than May 31st, 2029. So projects in early stages of development are eligible to participate as long as you expect to achieve COD, by May 31st, 2029. Lastly, projects must be at least 5 megawatts DC. It is acceptable for a larger project, a project greater than 25 megawatt DC to qualify for a percentage share of the project. So, for example, a bidder can submit a proposal for 50% share of a 50 megawatt project. If you're presenting a share of a project, it's just that it must be at least 50 megawatt or fi 5 megawatts, excuse me, and no more than 25 megawatts. This slide provides some highlights of key terms in the PPA, and I'm going to go into more depth on some of these items in the next section. But up front, I want to let you know that first, the PPA terms have been approved by the Pennsylvania Commission and are non-negotiable. We encourage you to download the PPA that's posted and review the terms, and please ask any clarifying questions. But know that the terms cannot change at this point. The PPA term is 10 years. Under the PPA, PECO will buy the energy, capacity, and solar AECs from a share or the entirety of the project selected through the RFP. The products must come from the project that's proposed and selected under the RFP. There's no substitution for another project downstream under the contract. The delivery point for the energy is the PECO residual aggregate zone. The seller will be responsible for costs associated with delivering energy from the interconnection point to this PECO zone. In regard to capacity, the capacity cleared in the capacity market for the project will transfer to PECO. This is handled through an agreement that's facilitated by PJM. And notably, solar AACs for the project are transferred to PECO through PJM GATS. Practically speaking, you submit a separate proposal for each project if you are planning to present multiple projects. The qualification process will be handled in two steps. First, to be eligible to submit a proposal with a bid for a project, bidders are required to submit a pre-qualification application. This includes providing basic information about the project, including size, address, planned in-service date, so that NERA can confirm that the project meets the eligibility requirements. Second, a project that is pre-qualified may submit both the proposal form and the bid form. The proposal includes a project development plan, which is submitted through an online form that will request supporting documentation and information depending on the development status of the project. And as I mentioned before, projects in early stage of development are eligible to participate. There is no minimum project maturity requirement. Other information requires includes information to populate the PPA, including a site map. There are required certifications about the project and the entity that will enter the PPA, and bidders will be required to post bid assurance collateral. So this slide is just an overview. Paul will go into detail on all of these requirements in the second half of the presentation. The bid for your project is a single price in dollar per megawatt hour that will be applicable for every year of the 10-year PPA term. This single price is an all-in price, So a combined price for each megawatt hour of energy capacity and solar AACs for the project. Selection of the winning proposal will consider the bid price, as well as some other factors based on the proposal submitted, such as the project's development status and whether the project can come online earlier than 2029, whether the project is located in PECO's territory, and this is not a requirement, and then proposal-specific benefits, such as plans to use a local workforce. This slide provides the solar RFP schedule. So the pre-qualification process kicks off today, and applicants will have a month to submit their pre-qualification applications, which are due on Wednesday, April 1st. NERA will review the applications, and applicants with projects that meet the pre-qualification standards will be notified that they can submit a proposal and a bid by Friday, April 10th. The following day, applicants can begin submitting their materials, and then the deadline to submit the proposal and bid is April 27th. NERA will review the proposal materials, and bidders are given time to cure any deficiencies. The deadline to complete the proposal is May 6th, and then May 6th is also the day that NERA will open bids for qualified projects. Bids are then evaluated by May 12th. And bidders are notified if they have winning projects by that day. The independent evaluator will provide a confidential report to the commission by May 18th, and then the commission has until May 28th to render a decision on the results. If the commission approves the results of the RFP, then PECO will execute the PPA, and send the partially executed version to winning sellers by June 1, and then the seller has until June 10th to execute the PPA. So, as I mentioned, the RFP results are contingent on final commission approval. NERA will submit a confidential report to the commission, and the commission will have 10 days to render a decision on the results. If the results are approved, the independent evaluator will release some information regarding the results within 15 days. This information release includes the winning bid price in dollar per megawatt hour and capacity of the executed PPA. So, if you'd like to submit a pre-qualification application, proposal, and bid for the project, you will need an account to access online forms. You can register for an account at any time now by going to the RFP website, pico-solarrfp.com, and clicking on the Contact Us link on the left-hand side, and then clicking on the Register for an Account link. You could also send an email to us if you'd like with the information that's requested on this slide. And then the individual that registers for an account is going to get email from us with information for how to activate your account, information for how to access the online forms and fill them out. So that concludes the high-level overview of the procurement event. And now I'm going to use the next section to go over the PPA and some key terms. So PECO's PPA, as I mentioned, was approved by the commission and is standard and non-negotiable. The seller will be required to accept the terms of the PPA during the proposal process, and must be willing to enter the agreement without modifications should the project be selected. The topics that I'm going to cover in this next section are key terms related to the products to be procured, so energy, capacity, and solar AACs. I'll cover the performance assurance requirement and when it applies to the seller. And then I'll touch on the guaranteed availability percentage that applies to a winning project under the contract. This is just a high-level overview of some key terms. It is the seller's responsibility to review and understand the PPA. So this slide starts with an overview of terms related to scheduling and delivery of energy. So the quantity of energy required to be delivered by the seller to PECO is equal to a buyer's percentage of the energy produced by the solar project. So it is the bidder that provides the buyer's percentage of the project's nameplate capacity, and it's provided during the proposal process. It is the seller that is responsible for arranging, scheduling, and delivering energy from the project to the delivery point. And again, the delivery point is the PECO residual aggregate zone. PECO is also buying capacity from the project, capacity that has cleared a PJM reliability pricing model auction will be transferred from the project to PECO through PJM's capacity exchange. The seller is not obligated to participate in an RPM auction until the first auction that occurs after the initial delivery date under the PPA, and is not responsible or obligated to provide capacity until after completion of that first auction. So the seller is responsible to provide PECO capacity, which is defined as auction-specific unforced capacity by PJM, or replacement capacity equal to the annual capacity quantity. And the annual capacity quantity is, again, the buyer's percentage times the project's nameplate capacity times the effective load carrying capability as defined by PJM and applicable to the solar project. Should the project under or overperform its capacity obligation to PJM as determined by PJM, then it is assessed a penalty or a credit. Those penalties or credits are allocated to the seller. And there's more detail on PJM's capacity exchange and this arrangement in Manual 18, if you'd like to review. In regard to solar AACs, the quantity of solar AACs required to be delivered by the seller to the buyer is equal again to the buyer's percentage of the energy produced by the solar project. The seller is required to take all actions to register, certify, and then transfer AACs from the project to PECO in accordance with GATS, and applicable law. Performance assurance may be required during the term of the PPA. The amount is based on 20% of the total notional value of the agreement and is subject to a minimum. As the value decreases each year, the amount of required performance assurance will also decline. The minimum is calculated as the product of $100,000 times the buyer's percentage times the facility nameplate rating. If the seller or its guarantor are rated at or above investment grade as defined in the PPA, then the seller does not have a requirement to provide performance assurance. The acceptable methods for posting performance assurance under the PPA, if required, includes cash, a letter of credit, or a guarantee by a creditworthy guarantor. This is the final slide in the contract section, and it's about the availability requirement. The seller must maintain a guaranteed availability percentage greater than or equal to 90% for each 2-year period under the PPA, as this term is defined in the PPA. The availability percentage is a function of the available hours and the total outage hours in each period for the project. There's information to calculate the availability percentage and availability damages should the seller not maintain this guaranteed amount. And there's a sample calculation as well. It's provided as Exhibit C to the PPA. With that, I'm going to pass the presentation over to Paul.
Thank you, Katie. As Katie mentioned, I'll be reviewing the pre-qualification requirements as well as the proposal requirements for the remaining slides in this presentation. After this last section, we'll answer questions relating to the RFP that you may have. So to become eligible to submit a proposal for a project, bidders must meet pre-qualification requirements. These next several slides will be dedicated to those requirements, but I first want to flag a few important items from this slide. All information for the pre-qualification application must be submitted via the online form, with inserts to either be uploaded to the online pre-qualification form or sent via email to the independent evaluator at pico-solarrfp@nira.com. Inserts are Microsoft Word documents that are filled out as part of the pre-qualification and proposal processes. The pre-qualification application must be submitted to the independent evaluator by 12 p.m. noon Eastern prevailing time on Wednesday, April 1st, 2026. We'll confirm receipt of materials of the pre-qualification application and may request additional information in writing as necessary. So you'll have an but you will have an opportunity to correct any errors detailed in the written notification we send to you. Lastly, once the pre-qualification window has closed, no project substitution is allowed. The illustrative pre-qualification application is posted to the Pico Solar RFP website as Appendix 2. The pre-qualification application is divided into five sections, with Section 1 relating to general project information. You'll be asked to provide for the project its name, location, its plant and service date, net capability, as well as interconnection process status. Note the net capability for the project is the nameplate capacity multiplied by the share of the project being offered. And as a reminder, the net capability of the project must be at least 5 megawatts DC, but no more than 25 megawatts DC. Section 2 of the pre-qualification application relates to information regarding the seller and the bidder. The seller is the entity that is the counterparty to under the PPA, while the bidder is the entity that submits a response to the RFP. In Section 2, you'll be asked to identify the seller and provide contact information. An officer of the seller, who is an individual authorized to bind the seller and undertake contracts, including the PPA. You'll be asked to identify the bidder and provide contact information, as well as a representative of the bidder who serves as the main point of contact for the bidder. While not required, you will also be able to name up the three nominees. These individuals are authorized to receive communications from the independent evaluator. So it's important to note here that any individual you name as nominees or representative is important so that we are in communication with the right people. The Section 3 of the pre-qualification application requires that certain certifications be made by completing inserts. The project certifications insert requires either the officer of the seller or the representative of the bidder to make specific no acknowledgments and certifications regarding the pre-qualification application and the project. The seller certification insert requires the officer of the seller to make additional certifications regarding the seller. The inserts required by the pre-qualification application are posted to the documents page of the Pico Solar RFP website and are currently available to download. Bidders will be required to provide bid assurance collateral in the form of cash or a pre-bid letter of credit with the proposal. Section 4 of the pre-qualification application allows bidders electing to submit a pre-bid letter of credit with their proposal to propose modifications to the standard form of that letter of credit. So bidders propose modifications by submitting a draft document, a draft version of the pre-bid letter of credit in a Microsoft Word redline. The standard pre-bid letter of credit, as well as a preliminary list of modifications acceptable to Pico, are posted to the RFP website right now on the documents page. Responses to proposed modifications will be provided directly to those entities who propose those modifications. Additionally, any modification approved for one entity will be approved for all entities and added to the list of acceptable modifications. The final list of acceptable modifications will be made available to, on the RFP website by April 10th. Lastly, Section 5 of the pre-qualification application allows for the bidder to justify any omissions from their pre-qualification application. A bidder successfully meeting the requirements of the pre-qualification application will receive from the independent evaluator a notification of pre-qualification. This notification of pre-qualification application, excuse me, this notification of pre-qualification is sent by 6 p.m. Eastern prevailing time on April 10th, 2026. The notification of pre-qualification informs a bidder that it may submit a proposal for a project. It includes a notification letter, a bid form customized for the bidder. Note that this customized bid form is the exclusive method for the submission of bids. The notification of pre-qualification also includes a guide for completing the bid forms, as well as instructions for providing bid assurance collateral, again, in either the form of cash or a pre-bid letter of credit. The proposal is due in two separate packages, with both being due by the proposal due date. The proposal due date is 12 p.m. noon Eastern Prevailing Time on Monday, April 27th, 2026. Each portion of the proposal has its own online form. The first portion is the proposal form that includes providing information via an online form, uploading supporting documents, including completed inserts, as well as posting bid assurance collateral in the form of cash or a pre-bid letter of credit with PECO. The second portion is the bid form. This consists of uploading a single bid price for the project via the bid form in its own online form. Bidders must use the bid form provided by the independent evaluator with a notification of pre-qualification. No other method for bid submission is acceptable. The proposal is divided into eight sections. The proposal form is divided into eight sections, with section one relating to basic project information. You'll be asked to confirm or to update pre-populated information from the pre-qualification application. You will also be asked to provide the anticipated output for a project by providing the expected monthly output in megawatt hours for the first 5 years of operation, as well as providing the P50 and P90 factors. Section two of the proposal form is dedicated to the project development plan. I'll spend the next two slides discussing this portion of the proposal form. This section requires the interconnection process status, for which other information requested in the section will be depend on the selection. So it's important that you get the selection right. You'll be required to indicate whether the project is in one of five cases. Case A is an executed interconnection agreement with PJM. The case B is the project received a phase three impact study. Case C is the project received a phase one system impact study. Case D is a project has completed an application for interconnection, but PJM has not yet reviewed the application. Case E is an application for interconnection of the project has not yet been submitted. The illustrative proposal form posted to the RP website illustrates the information required for each of these cases. On the next slide, I'll summarize what is required for each of the cases listed above. The illustrative proposal form posted to the RP website also has this information required for each case, as I briefly mentioned. Please contact us, though, if your project is using an alternate interconnection process than PJM's new services request study process for additional instructions on how to complete the proposal. So I won't go over every X in this table, but the table on this slide indicates what is required by each of the five cases, A through E. This is why it's important to answer the interconnection process status question correctly because, again, information requested in section two will depend on this election. So, the materials required will include an executed interconnection agreement with PJM, a memorandum of understanding for acquisition of major equipment as provided to PJM, the acquisition of major equipment and construction plan, a memorandum of understanding or other contractual document for acquisition of major equipment, if available, an EPC contract related to the project, if available, overview of the project financing, evidence of funding, including all supporting available documents, permitting status, description of identified environmental liabilities, if any, as well as site control. So this slide sort of goes through which of the cases require the materials on the left-hand side. I'll note that if you're participating in PJM's new service request study process because you're connecting through an alternate process to participate in wholesale markets, please contact us and we'll provide additional information to complete the proposal. Section three of the proposal form will ask for information needed to populate the PPA, including the guaranteed delivery date, a description of facilities, and additional information for exhibits B and H to the PPA. The guaranteed delivery date must be no later than May 31st, 2029. This is This will be an input into the PPA and cannot change after the deadline for the proposal, which again is Monday, April 27th, 2026. The description of the facilities will be used to populate Exhibit A of the PPA and requires a full site map, a diagram showing the point of interconnection, metering devices, and other equipment installed at a project site, a description of the project generating units and related facilities, as well as a description of interconnection facilities. Lastly, the templates to fill out Exhibits B and H are posted to the RFP website. Similar to the pre-qualification application, several certifications must be made with the proposal form. With the seller certification insert, the officer of the seller must certify that they understand and accept the terms of the PPA and also certify that no contractual obligations or any other circumstances could prevent delivery to PECO of all products associated with the RFP. With the bidder certifications insert, you must certify that the proposal will remain in full force and effect until June 17th, 2026, that the project has or will have a single revenue quality electricity generation meter that satisfies the requirements of PJM, and that will measure its generation output. Section 5 of the proposal form relates to the supplier diversity and local workforce. Bidders should identify any and all key contributors to the project that qualify as a diverse supplier, such as a certified woman-owned business, a minority-owned business, or a business with recognized diversity classifications. Bidders should also confirm whether the project will be developed in whole or in part using a workforce local to PECO's territory. As we mentioned before, bidders are required to provide bid assurance collateral to PECO in the amount of $20,000 per megawatt. This bid assurance collateral will be in the form of cash or a pre-bid letter of credit. Note that if a portion of a project is proposed, that portion of the project should be multiplied by $20,000 per megawatt to determine the bid assurance collateral required. So, as an example, say a bidder is presenting a 50% share of a project with a nameplate capacity of 50 megawatts, then the bidder must post $500,000 in bid assurance collateral, which is 25 times 20,000. If presenting proposals for multiple projects, a bidder may affect a single wire transfer to PECO or submit a single pre-bid letter of credit in the amount required for all projects. Bidders that post bid assurance collateral in the form of a pre-bid letter of credit must use the standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit or incorporate only modifications approved by PECO and posted to the RFP website. Bid assurance collateral will be returned for non-winning bidders shortly after the commission has issued a decision on the RFP. Bid assurance collateral will be returned to winners shortly after all contractual execution formalities have been completed. Note that bid assurance collateral for winners may be used towards any collateral requirements under the PPA. Bidders providing cash must complete the cash insert that acknowledges the conditions under which PECO can draw on the cash submitted as bid assurance collateral. They must also provide information for the return of cash, including for the entity on which to which cash is to be returned, the name of that entity, a W-9 for that entity, and a draft request for the return of cash. A draft request for the return of cash that is acceptable to PECO is posted to the RFP website. For bidders submitting a pre-bid letter of credit to meet the bid assurance collateral requirement, the pre-bid letter of credit must be submitted as an electronic PDF file via electronic means only to the independent evaluator at pico-solarrfp@nira.com. I'll just flag two items here. First, hard copy pre-bid letters of credit are not acceptable. Second, the pre-bid letter of credit must be submitted from the issuing bank. Section 7 of the proposal will ask for financial information for the seller or its guarantor as applicable. If the seller or its guarantor is rated by one or more of S&P, Moody's, and Fitch, then all available credit ratings must be provided. A project with a seller who is not rated or does not have the requested financial information is still able to participate in the RFP, but will be required to post collateral under the PPA if the project is selected, as Katie described earlier in the presentation. As I mentioned before, the bid form is uploaded to a separate online form from the proposal form, but it's also due by 12 p.m. noon Eastern Prevailing Time on Monday, April 27th, 2026. There are three sections of the bid form that must be completed. Section one asks for the contact information for the individual uploading the bid form. Note that the bidder name will be pre-populated by the independent evaluator. Section two, the bidder enters its bid for each project for which it is submitting a proposal. The bidder specifies its bid for each project in dollars per megawatt hour. Section three requires that the bidder make a certification by typing your name in the fields available. Again, bidders must provide both the proposal form and bid form by the proposal due date, which again is 12 p.m. noon Eastern Prevailing Time on Monday, April 27th, 2026. The proposal form is evaluated upon receipt, but the independent evaluator will not open or review the bid form until 12 p.m. Eastern Time on the deadline to complete the proposals slash bids open date. This date, as provided on the slide, is 12 p.m. noon Eastern Prevailing Time on Wednesday, May 6th, 2026. Similar to the pre-qualification application, the independent evaluator will confirm receipt of materials for the proposal and will review all responses for completeness and compliance with the RFP. We may request additional information for the proposal form in writing, and again, bidders will be given plenty of opportunity to correct errors. The independent evaluator will confirm whether the proposal form is complete and whether the bid will be evaluated by 12 p.m. noon Eastern Prevailing Time on the deadline to complete proposals slash bids open date. A bidder may revise his bid form until 12 p.m. noon on the deadline to complete proposal slash bids open date. After 12 p.m. Eastern Prevailing Time, bids for projects for which a complete and compliant proposal was submitted are evaluated. Bidders will be given a period of time to cure deficiencies related to the bid form, and after this cure period, the bidder may no longer revise his bid. Before answering questions, I want to quickly show the post-bid process timeline. On the slide, you'll see six important dates. May 6th is the deadline to complete proposals slash bids open date. This is when the evaluation period opens. May 12th is when the evaluation period ends and bidders are informed if their projects have been selected. May 18th is when the independent evaluator provides its confidential report to the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission. May 28th is when the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission issues a decision on the results of and the independent evaluator notifies bidders. On June 1st, PECO partially execute the PPAs and transmits the winnings to the winning sellers the executed PPAs using a digital signature. On June 10th, the sellers execute and return each PPA to PECO using a digital signature and return the documents by email. Post-bid collateral as required under the PPA is posted by close of business. This concludes the presentation portion of today's webcast relating to the PECO Solar RFP.